Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
A Trevor Plouffe Tuesday edition of the Score North Twin Show. We have our resident beat podcaster, Declan, the sports dad himself, Judd Zolgad. Figured we'd just take this conversation right to the show before we talk about the surging Twins. So you're doing pre-workout energy drinking right now, Trevor?
I am. I don't know why. This morning I felt a little sluggish, and I'm going to the gym after this. Might hit some golf ball. So
maybe some Bed Bath and Beyond. Not sure if we'll have enough time.
A real nice little Tuesday morning, but you know I want to get something good done in the gym. So yeah, I'm drinking a Celsius. And I was saying, like, these things should be illegal. They really do get me fired up. I think you can hear it in my voice almost.
I can hear your heart palpitating right now through the microphone. Is that Metallica or Trevor Plouffe's heart rate?
I do have one of these things on that, like, measures it. I wonder if my heart rate has gone up. I'm like the hand test. Yes, it has.
No, the hand test. Yeah, that's how. That's what I don't like.
You sound enthused, though. It's good.
Let's go. Yeah.
Like, let's go. Let's run some more.
I don't do it very often, especially this morning. Empty stomach. Just.
Oh. Yeah, that's on, you got to throw a little rally sausage down the hatch before you drink your Celsius.
Exactly. Love that.
What is the update, Declan? You were touring around the clubhouse. Have we switched the sausage? Is it still the same? It's gone.
I meant to ask yesterday, are we gonna get a new one? But it kind of feels like they started a win streak, you know, yesterday because they won the game. But I haven't heard anything about a new sausage yet.
So have we officially then replaced the sausage vibes with the Polaroid camera celebration?
Yeah. Yeah, those are pretty cool. Okay. In fact, so let me see if I can pull this up here.
Are you in or out on the Polaroid celebration?
It's a lot. I will say this.
I agree with that.
So that one's yesterday's. That's right next to
it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it because you can do whatever you want on a baseball field nowadays, which is, I'm okay with it. But it's a lot to be out there, you know, posing for a picture essentially after the victory, but again, the game is over, so who really cares?
And more guys, because I think it originally was going to be the infielders and the catcher is their thing, right? And then guys were like, I'd like to join in, and then backups came in, and now it's just
everybody's
a free for all.
Get Rocco out there.
Get Rocco. Well, you know, like in NFL games, you'll see if a defense intercepts a pass or something on, you know, Thursday Night Football, they'll run down to the end zone as a team, and they'll do like a team pose with the end zone cam. Are we going to get to the point where, I know pitchers get all offended if you even like look sideways the wrong way. Can we do this? If you hit like a huge 3-run homer in the sixth, can we all gather around home plate and do a little Polaroid celebration?
No. One thing I will not let this game turn into is like a college, take your helmet off and get your guy and all the guys around home plate. I will not let that happen in Major League Baseball.
What will you do?
That's it. If that happens, tweet something. That's all I really can do. I don't really have any power.
You should fly to the city and go out there.
Fingers. I'm going to rifle off some tweets.
I really
strongly
can't
worded.
Do anything about it, but I will tweet about it. How about that?
Oh, man. Hey, you were we just want to throw it to you. You were on the road trip before they came back home here. And so you've got, I feel like the last couple of weeks, you've just been so immersed in Twins vibes. So much mm-hmm. so that you and Joe Ryan actually took a little dip in Lake Michigan together. Very exciting. How was that, by the way?
That was a lot of fun. You know, he had done it like the previous day with Kepler. They had walked down there and I just was talking to him about it. And he asked if I'd ever gone to the lake. I said, no. I said, I'd love to. And then we kind of said, like, in passing, hey, let's go tomorrow in the morning. I said, okay. And I was kind of like, thought it wasn't going to happen because we had a day game and, you know, everyone had to be there pretty early. But I got a text like that the night before, like, hey, like, we're doing this, right? And so I said, okay. I didn't know cameras were going to be there.
Who took the photo?
So that's Peter, the guy that, you know, he's, I guess he's a videographer, you know, some sort of social with the Twins. Great guy. He's been there forever. All of a sudden, you know, I get Joe a coffee in the morning and I meet him downstairs and there's Peter with the camera. I'm like, oh man. Like I had to get shirtless next to Joe Ryan, one of the hottest guys in the big leagues. It's not easy for a 37-year-old to do that.
Did you pump yourself a little bit? A couple pre-picture push-ups? Or
no, I went. That's all natural right there. I think I held up okay. I'm not like super
fine, yeah.
stoked on my physique right now, but I did okay.
It's a little
you're not? Oh, my God. What does that say about this show?
You guys need to get in the gym. We should get in the gym.
You're about to say. There
you
no
got
Celsius
any of those seltzers you can hand me right through the thing?
It's not a seltzer either. That's how I know you're down in the gym. Oh, my God.
Jed with his pre-workout seltzers. This LaCroix got beer. Me jacked or what? Or think of white, little White Claw, pre-workout White Claw.
That's Molson. What you need for sure.
Molson.
Hey, people do that all the time, man.
They do.
Sometimes there's nothing better. I would do this from time to time. After a nice victory, you're feeling yourself, but you got to get a workout in. You know, I would take a victory beer into the gym and just get a little pump in.
Oh, like nice. In the majors, you guys would win a game and then rip a beer and get some biceps in, or what are we talking about?
I'm not speaking for everybody here, but I did that. I know Dozier's done that a few times. We get in the gym afterwards, you know, a couple deadlifts, you know, a couple buys and tries, a little victory beer. It's
I've
fun.
never been a shower beer person. I had roommates in college who lived by it. I don't like to mix business with pleasure. So I don't do the shower beer.
Wait, which one's the business? So shower is the business.
They're both pleasure, aren't they?
I was going to say, showers are great.
You consider a shower to be business?
It's business.
That's interesting.
You're missing out on life, man.
What do you take, a cold shower or something?
Yeah, you know, exactly. It's business. I got to get in there for business reasons.
I did that for a little bit. I read this book, and this is right after I got done playing. I read this book about, like, you know, routine and all whatever. And they said, you should start your day off with a cold shower. And I was like, why? You know, I was like, I was skeptical. Then I started to do it for a week, and I actually liked it. But then there was one morning I woke up and sometimes like, you just can't do that, dude. Like you just need a nice warm shower to get going. And I just stopped the practice there and never gone back.
You know, dude, two years ago, it wasn't from a book, but it was from, you know, how now people on the last couple of years on Twitter, people just do these, like, here's how I changed my life in eight posts. And the first post is like explaining how they're going to tell you that they changed their life. And the second one is, get ready, I'm going to tell you how I changed my life. And it was like, cold showers at 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. club, and take a cold shower. I tried it for 3 days. Same thing.
You did?
I was like, can't do this, man. Can't
do this. It
wakes
you up. That's for sure.
It like spikes your, it's supposed to spike your entire endorphin system. And you're just, it just, it's a jolt to start your day. Or you can just drink a Celsius.
I scroll right past that crap. Here's a thread on how I changed my life. Well, that's great for you.
Sports Dad already has all the answers. No, get out of my algorithm.
Yeah, exactly.
So we do, as part of our Monday show here, Trevor, we do, it's the State of the Twins episode on Mondays. And the first question we always ask is, fill in the blank, Twins vibes are blank right now. And we all had very positive things to say. How would you fill in that blank having been on the road trip a week ago, watching this team rattle off 2 weeks straight of wins and then starting a new streak? Twins vibes are blank right now to you.
I think they're steady. I don't think that this team has gotten too high. You know, I think that they understand like how much work is left. They're still looking up at teams in the division. So like this, they understand this is not their division. It's not. there's four teams that could win this division. So they, I think they understand there's still a lot of work to be done. You know, I spent a lot of time in the cages, like, or around the cage, and just kind of watch them put in work. And, you know, I think that they're just preaching consistency, you know, like they understand kind of what's been thrown at them. There's been a lot of breaking balls thrown at this team. And I think that they're trying to make some adjustments in that regard, but really it's kind of, you know, a cliche-ish mantra, but it's the truth. Like, you just have to stay consistent in your work, and things will happen. Like, you're going to run off maybe not 12 games in a row or, you know, throughout the year, but, like, you're going to run into streaks where you're hot. You're going to run into streaks where you're cold, and really it's just it's about being diligent with your work, and they continue to do that. So I think the vibes are good. There's no doubt about that. The vibes are good. You know, getting Correa back was huge. Getting Duran back was huge. Losing Buxton, well, I say it's huge, like, he was struggling, man. Like, he had like an 8-game stretch there where he was kind of getting back into it. He had some big hits late in games, but I was still waiting for that, like, massive Byron Buxton breakout. When they get this team completely healthy, I think that's when we'll see a true change in, like, the demeanor of the team. Like, they still understand there's work to be done. They're still dealing with some injuries. Come July, when we see this team at its full strength, I think that's when we'll kind of see, like, a change, a real change in, like, the vibe in the clubhouse.
It felt like, too, I was talking to Royce about this yesterday, Trev, like, it's actually great that the AL Central has basically four teams that are awesome. And mm-hmm. I think it was validating for them because a lot of them heard the disrespect of how the Twins are just going to cakewalk and moonwalk their way to another division title because this division's so bad. And Royce was bringing up, like, dude, the Cleveland's always good. If Detroit starts clicking, they're going to be really good. KC spent a bunch of money to try to at least get themselves out of the grave. And as a baseball fan, just myself, I would much rather watch, you know, you guys have dogfights with all these three teams like it was 15, 20 years ago where it's coming down to the last weekend of the season. I think that's much better for morale, too, knowing that, hey, there's four teams that are right there with us as we're trying to win this damn thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. It keeps you on your toes. You got to continue, like I said, to just continue to put in the work. Last year, I know Cleveland was kind of there with them, and then they faded off at the end. And really, honestly, last year the division was handed to the Twins. I mean, the way that Cleveland operated at the deadline, nobody else was really pushing them, and they kind of just cakewalked into the playoffs. It's not going to be that way this year. I think they understand that.
Which one of those three, Trev, do you think is the most legitimate challenger, too? Because, I mean, Cleveland lost Bieber before. You know, they've lost some guys. They played well, but I don't know that they've got the depth to maintain that. So of Cleveland, Kansas City, and Detroit, which two do you think have the most chance to really challenge for a division title, assuming that the Twins continue to play well?
That's a great question. For some reason,
job,
I want to.
Sorry, yeah, nice job.
Great question,
dude.
Yeah,
there you
goes
go.
Way back.
Imagine if you drank your seltzer.
You don't know I didn't.
No, we can tell you probably did. We can smell it on your breath, actually.
For some reason, I want to take the Tigers out of the equation. I know Flaherty's been really, really good to start the year, and Scooble's kind of like, you know, he's nasty. He has no hit stuff anytime he goes out. But for some reason, I have them out. I think that they all have their flaws, I guess. Like the Royals, right. Like, is Seth Lugo and Michael Walker, are they going to continue their ways? Like, if you look at Seth Lugo's Baseball Savant page, you know, the numbers will say there's some regression coming. So, like, is he going to keep it up throughout the year? Offensively, I think that Cleveland might be the worst off, especially with Kwan out right now for 4 weeks. You know, they're kind of they're top heavy right now with Ramirez, and he's starting to get it going, and Naylor. So they all have their question marks. If I had to choose one, I think I would take the Tigers out and say that the Royals and Cleveland will continue to be there. But then it comes down to what do these teams do at the deadline? I don't think Cleveland's going to add anything because that's just kind of where they're at. But if you ask me right now on May 7th, I'll say the Tigers. Yeah. But I honestly think it's going to be a four-team race.
Yeah.
So I don't think any of these teams are going to go do much at the deadline. Like,
do you think the Twins go get one more starter? Let's talk about the Twins starting rotation. I mean, Pablo's Pablo. Joe Ryan, I don't know. I feel like 2 years ago, people, rightfully so, were looking at him as a top of the rotation guy, and he's largely been good. Bailey Ober, if you take away that first start,
yeah,
even like Simeon Woods Richardson has shoved in like three out of five starts. Like, what do they need another starter in a couple months, or what are you thinking for the Twins rotation?
I would love for them to get another starter. Even if they had a full five-man rotation where you can rely on them, which I don't necessarily think they do right now, you got to have just depth. You have to have real deal depth. And, you know, I was clamoring for them to get Cease in the offseason. That didn't happen. But I think there's going to be some guys available at the deadline. I think the Marlins are going to probably start trading some people. I think the White Sox are going to start trading some
people. They already did.
The Marlins, yeah, exactly. Man.
Yeah, the Marlins have pitching for days. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see if they start getting rid of those guys. I mean, if the Astros don't get back into it, where's Justin Verlander going to go? Seems like that's a decision that they're going to have to make. Could he has imagine? A full no-trade clause. So, you know, he has to approve any deal. But, yes, I would like to see them add in all facets of the roster. Like, this is like, you have to go for it at some points. You have to, like, give your fan base that, at least, that you're going and trying to improve your team at the deadline when all the other teams around you are probably going to be doing that. You can't stay pat. It's just not a good signal to your fan base. So I actually expect them to be active. How active? I don't know, man. I don't know if they will pull the trigger on a starting pitcher. I guess it's yet to be seen.
The Marlins trade intrigued me because the Marlins picked up a bunch of Arias' salary. If I'm not mistaken, the Padres are going to pay him what? The minimum, right?
Yep, yep.
So I guess my question is this. Would you give up to get a pitcher the requisite amount of prospects, which would be more, to get the Marlins to eat salary so that you're not taking on a lot more, but you're improving yourself, and now you're going to be out more prospects? Is that a potential, and is that potentially a good idea?
I think it just depends on who it is. Like, if you have a guy that's, you know, has more than 1 year or a half a season of control, I think that's definitely an option you would go to. I'm always on the side of let's go improve the major league roster now. Like, sure, like, I understand what a farm system means to an organization, and I understand that, you know, prospects can be very, you know, advantageous for you because those guys come up and they are making the league minimum, and if they're good, it really helps your team out. If that's what they're really looking towards, like, hey, we need some salary relief because we don't want to add to our payroll, that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, that's kind of a precedent that's really been set over the last couple of years. I mean, the Mets did it when they traded Verlander, you know, paid down all his salary. I believe even next year he's owed 30-something million. It's a player option if he throws 140 innings, but the Mets are still on hook for half of that. So it's actually only like a $17.5 million deal for Verlander next year. So a team that trades for him, it's a player option. It's not necessarily sure that he's going to sign for that. But again, I don't know if he's going to get $35 million on the open market at 42. So he maybe will be up for that. But I would, depending on the situation, yes, I would 100% give up prospects to go improve my team that has a chance to make the playoffs. I'm always going to say that.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Verlander would be a blast. I know that he's 41 and he's maybe not the same version, but he has, even in his like late 30s, he won a Cy Young Award 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great. So that's, man. I think that's a definite possibility that he gets moved. And again, because he has a full no trade clause, he has to say yes. And would he say yes to going to the Twins? I don't know, man.
I mean, he played in Michigan for, you know, what? He played with Detroit till he was 34, so he's definitely spent some time in the Midwest.
He loves playing in Houston. He said that publicly. You know, is he going to be willing to give up 9% of his money that's coming in? I think that's a caveat, right?
We can start a GoFundMe to help pay.
Yeah, know? It's a big GoFundMe.
Yeah. Trev, what is your thoughts? Because I'm for these moves, by the way, but I think sometimes maybe novice baseball fans or maybe just sports fans that are checking in get a little confused on a elite reliever going in the seventh or eighth. So like Duran's gone in the eighth inning his last two appearances, and it's because they obviously want to shut down the door. I guess how would you try to explain that to someone that maybe isn't like super intertwined in baseball that, hey, you're going to actually burn your closer per se in the seventh or eighth. How would you try to explain that and why that is a good move to someone that maybe isn't as, you know, involved in understand how baseball works?
I would say I don't think it is always a good move. You have to have the right bullpen to be able to do it. You have to have a couple guys that you trust closing out games. And regardless if people want to admit this or not, the last three outs are different than any other outs. Even if they're not as high leverage as, you know, a seventh or an eighth inning, they're just different. So the Twins have that. They have, you know, three, maybe four capable guys to go out and close the game out. So I guess to explain to a casual fan, it's the leverage. High leverage situations call for your most high leverage reliever. I think Duran for the Twins, without a doubt, is their most high leverage reliever. Now, do you want him in the back of the game? Is most of the time, yes. But if you're facing a team that it's top heavy and 2-3-4, 3-4-5 are due up, you want your best pitcher against those guys because you know if he goes and gets the job done there, you know, 6-7-8 aren't as high leverage. So you can kind of use, quote unquote, a lesser pitcher. The Twins, I don't know if the Twins are in that. I don't want to call them lesser pitchers, but they're not as high leverage as Duran. So I think that's
they're not
it.
Throwing 104 miles an hour. So they're throwing 99 instead.
You just describe it as the high leverage situations. And I am for that. You know, if you have other people capable of closing out games.
Yeah, we talked about Cole Sands even yesterday, that you know, as you looked at the projected bullpen for this team, and he's a former fifth round pick out of Florida State, like 5-6 years ago, struggled in the minor leagues as a starter, and they converted him full-time bullpen in St. Paul last year. And all of a sudden he's up there. I think he's got the highest strikeout rate of any reliever in the Twins bullpen. And they've used him for 2 ninth inning saves. State of the bullpen address from Coach Trev here. They just keep running guys out there. And by the way, they haven't even unleashed bullpen Louis Varland yet, which I think they might at some point. Does Simeon Woods Richardson at some point become a flamethrower reliever? I don't know, but Topa.
If they get Verlander, that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, the bullpen is, I mean, it's been the strongest part of the team, right? I guess there's no other, the starting pitching hasn't been as strong as the bullpen. The hitting hasn't been as strong as the bullpen. I mean, as of late, I guess the hitting's come on quite a bit, but the bullpen is, it's so nice to have that. You know, I think that we all can, you know, just as baseball fans, understanding that if you have a lead late in the game and a bullpen you can rely on, how relieving that is compared to a team where you don't have the bullpen. And when you have a lead in the late part of the game, you don't even feel like secure in closing the game out. I think as Twins fans, I feel pretty dang comfortable even with a one run lead going into the seventh. So that is it. It's so nice. And such, it's not a luxury to have it because most good teams have a good bullpen, but the Twins have a great bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thought, Trev, on Kepler? Got off to the just horrendous first half in 2023, came back in the second half and was brilliant. Got hurt to start the season, tried to play through it, struggled, and since he's come back has been great. But just as far as the mentality goes, what's your assessment of him? Because he's probably one of the most confusing players I've seen as far as where he's at certain times. Because when he's going well, and he can go well for a long period of time, it's really damn good. But if he's not, it can be absolutely maddening to watch.
I think that Max, I think a lot of his results and his ability on the field will come from where he's at, mentally. Because clearly he has all the physical tools to do anything on the baseball field. I mean, he's about as good as you can get when you're talking about just pure athleticism out there. So that's really never been in question. But to me, you know, there's always been Max Kepler trade rumors. There's been, okay, what are we going to do with this guy? And you know, people have, you know, questioned him at some points. Now I feel like a couple things have happened. He's not going anywhere this year. He's going to be in right field. He's going to be playing there. The team's, you know, now has been doing pretty good. He's been a big part of that. So when he's feeling like this, he's going to continue to go. I also think the fact that he's a free agent after this year means something. You get into that mentality, hey man, this is kind of my chance to, I need to really bear down. Not that he's really doing anything, I don't think, differently. But when you know that this is your year, I think you just lock in just that much more, and that can make a huge difference in your results on the field. But he's in a good spot mentally right now. He feels wanted, which I think we disregard that a lot as baseball fans. Like, just think of yourself as a person. How much better do you perform when you feel like you're wanted or valued? Like, I think Max feels that way right now.
It is. I mean, to that point, fans, media, you do sometimes ignore the fact that it's a bunch of human beings running around, and there's human element factors. There's family factors. You could just be having like a, you know, think about if you're listening to the show right now and you're, something's going on, you got in a fight with your wife or whatever, like you're sick. You just kind of duck into your cubicle and ignore all your meetings. I mean, you got to show up at the ballpark and there's a dude throwing 98 miles an hour out there at you. So yeah, I think especially in baseball, being in a calm, good headspace matters more than people give it credit for.
Yeah, he's always calm. I think it's just the fact, you know, it's, I don't know if I'm putting this the right way, but like I feel like he feels valued right now.
You're right though, because the trade rumors and the first half of the year last year, he was hitting about $1.60 or $1.80 or whatever it was, and he was having a hard time. And then it's been 2 years of, are they going to move him for a pitcher? Are they going to pick up his option in the offseason? It's like there's all these contractual checkpoints. And
that's daunting because he's never been anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's 31 now. I believe the Twins signed him when he was 16. We're talking about 15 years in one organization. And the thought of going somewhere else, it's scary, man. Like, you don't know what's out there. This is your home. I lived it. I went to a different organization and I did the best I could at, you know, trying to fit in and doing all these things, but still, like, it doesn't feel like home, like, whatsoever. You don't have the equity built up in a new organization. So that, you know, guys think about stuff like that.
Did you make friends your first day in your new organization? Did you sit alone at lunch or what was
it? You start crying, right? It was okay.
I wanted to. I still remember. I don't remember who it was. It was either Falvey or Levine that called me, and I never called them back. They left a message saying, hey, like, we're taking you off the roster. Thanks for like your fucking service or whatever.
That was a voicemail?
It was a voicemail. I was on my way back home from workouts, and I got a call from a Minnesota number. I didn't answer it. A voicemail came in. I listened to it. It was one of those guys. I just was like, well, should I call him back? And I was like, I think my quote was, they're not my bosses anymore, so I don't have to call him back.
Yeah, we're right about that.
They're not. So what am
well,
I,
they told
am I gonna,
you.
Well, what am I going to do? Call him back and be like, thank
hey,
you.
Hey, got your,
me,
got your voicemail. Is that actually, I have a voicemail etiquette question. I generally hate just like voicemails, period.
Oh,
is
I'm
that
opposite.
Some, you love voicemails?
Yeah. I'd rather be, like all phone calls be voicemails.
Really?
Like,
well, I'm with you
voicemail,
on phone calls.
Let me listen to it. And then I'll,
so you're more of a voice,
you.
Voice memo guy or voicemail?
Yeah, I would love that. I don't do that, but I would much rather be voice memo.
I feel like if you're firing someone, essentially, which it's weird in baseball because it's more like we're not picking up your option or whatever, but you're basically saying we're not going to employ you anymore.
Yeah.
Is that a voicemail?
Okay. I see what you're saying. Do you need to get a hold of me?
Or would you, like, in that instance, should it be, hey, Trev, can you call me back? I need to talk. Or would you rather them just tell me on the voice memo so I can move on with my life and not have an awkward phone conversation?
I mean, honestly, I've never thought about that. In depth like this, but yeah, he probably should have waited for me to call him back.
Yeah.
So maybe next time I see them, I'm like, hey, excuse me, guys, your etiquette was poor.
Yeah.
So here's my question off that. How weird is it then when you rejoin the Twins as like a broadcaster and now you see them for the first time, I would guess, since they fired you without talking to you? Like, what was that exchange like? Hey, guys, I'm back. Thanks a lot for firing me. I'm back.
Well, now I've been fired many times, so it's, yeah.
Right. I'm okay, but I'm just
did
saying,
all,
like, what
did
was
the
first
other ones
exchange?
Voice,
like,
did the Rays? Who was it? Rays, Phillies,
Phillies,
all voicemails.
Well, the Rays never really released me per se. No, most of them are in person or like they actually talk to you, which is nice. I did find out when I got designated for assignment by the A's, which was the following season. I was just on the plane. We were heading home from Miami, I believe. And Matt Chapman, who I'd like become good friends with in spring training, texted me. He said, hey, man, I'm going to see you tomorrow. I just got called up. And I was like, fuck. Like, I knew, like, you're coming up, bro. Like, we play the same position, bro. And I said to him, I said, Matt, I said, dude, like, first, I am so excited for you. Like, you deserve this. Like, I'm very, very happy for you. But second, I don't think I'm going to be here to like welcome you into the clubhouse, bro. So I went on the, at that point, you know, it wasn't out yet. There was nothing, no decision made. So I got out of my chair and I went up to David Forrest and Bob Melvin. And I said, guys, did I just get released? Did I get designated? Because I know Chapman just texted me. And then like, they're like, oh, I'm not really sure. And then like,
we'll leave you a voicemail later.
Like 2 minutes later, he came back and said, yeah, like it is you. I'm sorry. So I actually started the goodbye process on the plane. I just went and just said, hey, I'm not going to be in the clubhouse tomorrow. I want to make sure I say goodbye to everyone and did that whole thing. But
it's a class act.
Or maybe you manifested it. Maybe it was going to be someone else, but you had already said goodbye.
Well, Chapman was really good too. So you didn't get replaced by like some slappy guy who just got called up.
I knew the instant I showed up to spring training and took ground balls with him that I was not long for the third base position in Oakland. Like, he was a stud. He's really good. Certain guys you play with or you see and you're like, oh fuck. Like, there was nothing I did on the field that he wasn't better at me then. There was like literally nothing. So I understood the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
I was why do they even sign me here? What am I?
Why am I here at this dump?
Yeah, they gave me, you know, over $5 million for what? To sit on a seat that I was going to get ejected from very quickly.
Watch rats at your feet in the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Boy.
It was bad, too. It was sewage as bad as everyone says it is. It's playing there is atrocious.
Ugh.
So. You know what isn't atrocious, gentlemen? Red Cow. You know what doesn't have rats running around?
Oh, yeah.
No, they just have amazing burgers running around. That's what they have at Red Cow.
That looks so good. Oh, my gosh.
6 locations in Minnesota, 5 in the Twin Cities area. The North Loop is my favorite personally. Dax, I know you used to frequent that one. The one in Rochester, a little further away. But, best food. Trevor's salivating all over his
so hungry
microphone.
Now.
We'll get you out there when you're in Minnesota here next. But, yeah, 36 local beers on tap, craft cocktails, and best of the bunch maybe, a bunch of sports viewing TVs at the bar where you can belly up and eat these delicious snacks. So thanks to Red Cow for helping us power the Score North Twin Show. 6 locations in Minnesota. Before we wrap here, a trivia question for you guys.
Okay.
How much money has Justin Verlander made in his career?
This is like one of my favorite games to play.
Yeah, I like this one too.
Counting other people's money game?
Yeah, I love it because, you know, I feel like it puts it into perspective. Well, I'm going to say he's made... has he gotten to 300 yet?
Yeah, that's. I think it's north of 250.
I'm gonna say.
I don't think this counts the option for 25. I think it's money
okay,
earned through 25.
Money earned. Okay. I will say. Shit, he's been making $30 and $40 million.
Yeah.
I'll say $305 million.
Okay, we'll go closest to the pin here, so you guys get guesses. Okay.
Yeah, I mean he's got probably 10 years worth of a minimum of $20 million per. Average, and that's low, probably. It's probably more like 25 or 30. I'm going to say 330 million.
Oh, Trevor's at 305.
I just looked at the freaking number.
Dex, 330.
Holy
There's
shit.
A hint for Judd.
I'll say 340.
You guys aren't even close, actually. It's $404.2 million for Justin Verlander. Dudes, come on, Minnesota. You can afford the taxes just for one... stretch run.
Does Kate like it here? That's my question. Will Kate allow the move?
She was in the suite crap. 5 years ago for the whole Astros series. And didn't Marnie Gellner go up and talk to her?
Oh,
I think she did.
I don't remember.
Like in 2019. Okay. I think that happened.
Yeah.
She made a Bally's appearance.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you guys just quick 12.8. Then it was 20, 28, 28, 28, 28, 28, 28, 28, 33, 33, 33, 25, 43, 43.
Yeah, that's wild,
Holy.
Man.
Lee.
Not a bad way to live. So
a red cow.
He'll be buying a baseball team at some point and a lot of red cow. That's what he's going to do. All right, there he is, Coach Trev. Trevor Plouf Tuesday is here on the Score North Twin Show. Appreciate you. We'll do it again next week, sir.
I'm going to meet Judd at the gym right now.
Yep. You guys can pound a couple
of
Trulies.
Grab my coffee, my Truly, and I'll be right there.
Pound some Pound some LaCroix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pound some Molson's and we're good to go. All right.
Be great.
Have a shower beer.
Love it.
Declan's got to go to work. Shower's calling.